speak to us now, Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. For this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. Lord, we are ready for your word. Father, we pray now that you will bless all that we do and all that we say, that your word will go forth in power and might, that it will produce more than conviction, that it will produce a change in conduct so that we can become all you want us to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. I learned this phrase back in my high school days in the science class. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Newton's third law of motion. Now, some of you may be wondering, what does that actually mean? Newton's third law of motion says that for every force or every action, there is a simultaneous, equal, and opposite force or reaction acting in return of that initial action. For example, when a rocket blasts off, it's blasting off because of the pushing of hot exhaust gases backwards that now propels that forward, that rocket ship forward or upward. It's a motion that is in response to an action. When you're walking, when you walk, you push the ground backward. You may not think of it that way, but when you walk, you're pushing the ground backward, and the ground pushes you forward. And the quicker and the stronger your push is backward, the faster you go forward. If you ever saw a gun fired, or maybe you fired a gun, there's recoil when you shoot a gun. The gun pushes the bullet forward, and the bullet pushes the gun backward. It's called recoil. Here's what's interesting. Newton was talking about mechanics. He was talking about physics when he shared that third law of motion. But the third law of motion shows up in our text today. It shows up because there are moments in life when your outcomes are directly a reaction to your attitude and your actions. In other words, what you do causes you to get what you get. In Michael, 2 Samuel chapter 6, we see the actions of David and the equal and reactions of Michael. For example, David's action, he danced before the Lord. Michael's reaction, he despised him because of his dance. David's action was worship. Michael's reaction was contempt. David's action was celebration. Michael's reaction was criticism. David's action was delight in the Lord. Michael's reaction was disrespect toward David. Newton says for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And in our text, we see a woman whose equal and opposite reaction to the action of her husband did not bring her husband down, but it kept her down. And she missed her own blessings. She couldn't stop David from blessing God, but she could stop herself from receiving God's best blessings for her life. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, how to overcome bitterness so you can be blessed. How to overcome bitterness so you can be blessed. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? Amen. If you need an outline, raise your hand. And those who are watching, you can download an outline. Just download our app wherever you get your apps, or you can go to goodhope.org. Someone listening today, I'm convinced you've missed blessings in your life, not because of what you've received in your life, but what you have failed to release from within your life. The blessings that you hope for are not happening, not because of something that happened in your home, but because of something that still resides in your heart. So many times when we look at people and we interact with people, we don't realize that while we're judging them for how they're acting, we don't think about what we have brought to the table that's causing the reaction that we're getting. And so today I want to continue our walk through 2 Samuel chapter 6, looking at the life of this woman by the name of Michal. For those of you for whom this is your first Sunday, Michal is the daughter of Saul. Not the oldest girl, her name was Merab, and that was the young lady that he promised to give to the victor, whoever would defeat the giant Goliath. David comes, he's not even the strongest, handsomest, or biggest in his own family. He's got brothers that are much more qualified to the naked eye than he. But David goes down to check on his brothers, and while he's down there, he hears Goliath hurling insults at the God of Israel and the people of God. David says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who has the audacity, who has the unmitigated gall to insult the God of heaven?" He goes out into battle and he defeats Goliath. I'm going to talk in a few weeks around the subject of how to defeat the giants in your life, because when people tell the story of an underdog, they typically picture it around David beating Goliath. And they don't understand that David defeating Goliath was not by chance. David defeating Goliath was not by luck. David defeating Goliath had a part to do with the anointing of God on his life, but it was also because David understood that you can't defeat an enemy when you try to fight an enemy in their strength. You got to stay true to who God has created you to be in order to see God move through you. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. Here's the point, though, I want you to get today as we look at the life of this woman, Michal. David is promised Merab. David goes out and beats Goliath. Saul had no intention of giving his daughter to David. He gives Merab to another fella, and then he finds out that his younger daughter, Michal, is in love with David. Well, he decides he's going to set up this dowry request that had nothing to do with money, had everything to do with blood. And so he tells David, "I tell you what, you can have Michal as your wife, but you have to go and bring me the foreskins of 100 Philistines." He goes into battle. Saul has no idea that David is going to be victorious. As a matter of fact, he's counting on David being killed. David, being the overachiever that he is, doesn't come back with 100 foreskins. He comes back with 200. Drops them at Saul's feet and says, "Where's my woman?" And takes Michal to be his wife. But Saul is upset. He is jealous. He is envious of David and all of the acclaim that David is getting, because David did what King Saul was afraid to do, wouldn't do. He killed the giant Goliath. And the Bible says that Saul begins to plan David's death. Michal hears about it, warns her husband, and David leaves. Saul, in response to him leaving, puts David into exile and then takes his wife, Michal, and gives her to another man by the name of Paltai. And the Bible says that throughout David's life, he is running from the attempted assassinations of Saul. David comes back. He is now appointed king in 2 Samuel chapter 5. But remember, Michal left as wife number one. She was the only wife. when he was gone in exile and she was given to Paltai, David got two more wives. And so when Abner came to negotiate her coming back into the house, she left number one wife, she came back number three. And the Bible says, arguably, from that point forward, all of her pain, all of her unresolved hurt, fear, and frustrations that manifested itself in anger had now metastasized and became bitterness in her life. My brothers and sisters, last week, I shared with you two things. I shared with you first that you have to recognize the presence of bitterness in your life. You can't deal with what you don't acknowledge. You hear people erroneously say stuff like, don't speak it into existence. Ooh, if you say something, you're gonna claim it. Listen to me carefully. You don't have to claim it for it to claim you. And some of us have been claimed by some stuff that dictates and determines our actions and our attitudes, and we fail to realize that you can't address it if you won't claim it. You got to recognize the presence of bitterness. I'm going to help you do that today. Second thing I said is, not only do you need to recognize the presence of bitterness, you got to recognize and identify the cause of bitterness. You got to understand the why behind the what. See, so many times in life, my brothers and sisters, we look at other people and we react to what they do. We don't respond to why, because we never ask the why question. Why did they do that? What was the purpose behind it? But here's the other thing that we really fail to do. We don't respond to other people's why because we don't ask it, and we don't think about our own why behind our own what. In other words, you do what you do. Here's the thing. We want to justify our what instead of asking ourselves, why did you do that? Why did you say that? Why did you react that way? You got to recognize the cause of bitterness. We don't know what it was. We don't know if this woman was bitter because she went out, wife number one, and came back, wife number two. We don't know if it's because she lost her father's dynasty and she was a daddy's girl and that was gone. We don't know if it's because she was given to another man by force. We don't know if it was because she was returned like property. We don't know if she was still trying to live in the glory of her daddy and didn't understand that there was a difference when your name changed and now you in another man's household. We don't know what the root of it was. All we know is bitterness took root. Let's get to part two. Here's the first and only thing today I want you to see, and I've got some sub-points here. If you're going to overcome bitterness so you can be blessed, you need to realize there are consequences when you have unresolved bitterness in your life. Consequences. Everybody say consequences. You know, here's one of the things that I've learned in life. Many times we can experience conviction, but we run from consequences. And we don't understand that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. That when you do something, there's a consequence for what you have done or what you have said. The Bible says in verses 17 through 23, that David brought offerings to the Lord. I'm in the end of verse 17. And then in verse 18, the text says, David blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Verse 20 says, when David returned home to bless his family, Michal came out to meet him and said in disgust, how glorious the king of Israel looked today. Sarcasm. He exposed himself to the servant girls like any indecent person might do. Go down to verse 23. So Michal, the daughter of Saul, remained childless throughout her life. David had blessed the people, he had blessed the Lord, and the text says he was on his way to bless his family. We don't even know what the totality of that blessing entailed. All we know is that the blessing was coming to the house with David. Think about this. David is coming to bless his household, and before he gets to his house, He can't get in the door. This sister comes outside in the midst of everybody, in front of everybody, and chastises David for what David had done. Here's what many of you need to see. She was born the daughter of a king. She was married and became the wife of a king. And she gave away the opportunity to be the mother of a king because of her bitterness. Someone in here, you're missing blessings that were there for you to experience and enjoy. Not because of what somebody else has done, but because of the bitterness that is unresolved in your life. And that bitterness is blocking blessings, the blessings that God has for you, and keeping them from reaching your home and changing your heart. Let me walk through some of the areas that those consequences show up. Look at number A. Your bitterness can affect you physically. Your bitterness can affect you physically. Job 21, beginning at verse 23. Let's read it together. One dies in his full vigor, being wholly at ease and secure. His pails full of milk and the marrow of his bones moist. Another dies in bitterness of soul, never having tasted prosperity. Bitterness can affect you physically. It can cause your blood pressure to go up. It can cause you to stay up late at night and lose sleep. It'll weaken your immune system. Bitterness manifests itself through headaches and anxiety and stress and ulcers and other physical illnesses. Your body and your spirit keep score. Keep score of the bitterness that you are harboring, that you are hiding from other people in the world. Somebody in here, watch this. Some people are tired because of their work, but some of you are tired because of your bitterness. You smile publicly and stay inflamed internally. And God says you've got to learn how to release it and let it go. You need a prescription to release the bitterness from your life. I just went this past week to get my eyes examined. And I'm sitting there, and you know, whenever you go to get your eyes examined, they start changing lenses and start trying to determine whether you or not you need a new, you know, prescription. And so as I'm sitting there, she put some lenses in and I couldn't see anything. And she said, read the top line. I'm like, what line? Right? I couldn't see anything. And here's what I came to realize, that my eyesight wasn't changing in me. It changed based on the lens I was looking through. Somebody go with me today. Because what I'm trying to get you to understand is when you look at life through the lens of bitterness, it affects how you see other people, and it affects how you see people seeing you, and it affects everything you do because you're looking at it through a lens of bitterness. Look at B. Your bitterness will affect your relationship with others. Some of y'all are not getting along with people like you should, and you are quick to blame them instead of recognizing that the biggest reason you don't get along with them is because of the bitterness that's in you. Look at what he says, Colossians 3:13. Let's read it together so you don't think I'm making it up. You must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. You must make allowance for each other's faults. And here's what some of you are saying right now, because I hear you in the spirit. Yeah, Pastor, they need to make allowance for my faults. You tell them, Pastor. That's right. Did you hear what the pastor said? You got to make allowances for my faults. Text says we got to make allowance for each other's faults. See, bitterness will affect how you deal with the one who hurt you. Bitterness will affect how you deal with others after you've been hurt. Bitterness will affect how you deal with people who remind you of your hurt. We call it a trigger. And some folk will hit the trigger and they don't even know your past. And you'll react and respond out of unresolved bitterness to a person who may be innocently saying something, suggesting something, but because they hit a trigger and it took you back. See, here's the truth of the matter. We judge other people by their actions, but we want to be judged by our intentions. We judge other people by what they do, but we want to be judged by what we meant. Bitterness affects how you see others, and bitterness affects how you see other people seeing you. So here's this bitterness. This bitterness of this woman that turned a celebration into a confrontation. People are rejoicing. And here she comes. In the midst of all that shouting, in the midst of all of that screaming, in the midst of all of that celebrating of what God had done, she brought her personal agenda and allowed her agenda to supersede God's agenda. Look at C. Your bitterness will affect your fellowship with God. Your bitterness will affect your fellowship with God, y'all. Mark 11:25, let's read it together. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Here's what you need to understand. Bitterness will not keep you from functioning in your flesh, but it will hurt how you function in your spirit. See, some of y'all don't see bitterness when you look in the mirror, because for you, you define bitterness as an extreme and don't realize that you don't have to be at the extreme to be bitter. So you say, I don't scream, I don't holler, I don't cuss, so I'm not bitter. Because if I was bitter, I'd be going off all the time. If I was bitter, I'd be calling you out your name. I ain't bitter. And that extreme manifestation is not the only way you define the presence of bitterness. Bitterness will hurt your spirit, because unresolved anger and unforgiveness will hurt your fellowship with God. And I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, that the greatest crime in your life is not what somebody else did to you. The greatest crime in life is what you continue to do to yourself. Somebody in here, your prayers can't even get through. It's almost like you call God and you on mute. And you don't realize that you're talking and nobody can hear you. And you don't realize that God is talking and you can't hear him. Look at D. Your bitterness will keep you from fulfilling your God-given potential. Some of you are far below where God wants you to be, because your bitterness today, rooted in your unresolved anger from yesterday, is keeping you from fulfilling God's potential in your life for your future. Watch what the text says. Michael. David is praising. David is dancing. David is worshiping. Where would a supportive wife be? Praising. Dancing. Worshiping. Go ahead, baby. God's been good. I know you right. But the text says she comes out in the midst of the celebration and makes it about her. And makes it about her feelings. Because after all, David, my feelings are valid. My opinion matters. And I ain't worried about all these other folks celebrating you, because you don't go home to them. Let's get some stuff straight before you even come in this house. You can hear some sister all up in there, right? Man, she started working that. David, let me get you. You know. His wife comes out. Y'all, I want you to hear this. The blessing is coming. Now, we don't know what the blessing was. We don't know if he came back, and after everything he had gone through, he came back and he said, you know what? Man, Michael's had a hard time. She was wife number one, came back wife number three. Man, let me go in here and bless my wife. You know what? I want her to be the mother of the next king. We don't know what he was going to do to bless her. All we know is the text says the blessing was on the way. And watch verse 23. So, Michael. Don't miss that so. That so is significant because it connects the consequence to her conduct. The text says, therefore, because you acted this way, you remain childless, Lord, for the rest of your life. You can still live in the house, but it won't be a home. I mean, how do you think David responded? I told you this Bible, man, is better than some soap operas. But how do you think David, man, she fussing and coming at David the way she did? Can you imagine David saying to himself, now, you know, I was coming in the house because I was going, and I was planning on, and we was going, but you know what now? Don't even worry about it. David was like, I'm good. We good. Nah, David, I want to tell you something. Okay, go ahead. We good. And the text says, as a result of her actions, she remained childless throughout her life. Text doesn't say God closed the womb. Text says she closed the door on her own blessing. Listen to me carefully, because here's the, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. David comes in worship. Michael comes in judgment. David comes to bring a blessing, and Michael becomes barren because of her bitterness. Her inward action produced an outward reaction. Her heart posture shaped her life outcome. Her bitterness robbed her of her own blessings. When you react to someone with bitterness, you don't cancel their celebration, you cancel your own blessings. So let me just conclude by telling you that some of you in here are functioning, but you're not flourishing. You're moving, but it's not meaningful. You're breathing, but you don't have blessings, because bitterness has allowed you to function in your flesh, but miss what God is trying to do in your spirit. Look at what Job says, Job 7, verse 11. Let's read it together. I must express my anguish. My bitter soul must complain. You know anybody like that? Who they just have to give you their opinion. I have to give you my anguish. Look at Job 10, verse 1. I am disgusted with my life. Let me complain freely. My bitter soul must complain. And when you have a complaining spirit like that, check the source of your constant complaining. Because the text suggests that somewhere at the root of that constant complaining that you must articulate, that you must share, just might be a bitterness that's within you and not the situation that's going on around you. Bitterness will sit in your heart and show up in your health. You may look fine on the outside, but bitterness will eat you alive from the inside. And it won't stop there. Bitterness will crawl out of your heart and climb into relationships. You'll start counting faults instead of extending grace. You'll rehearse offenses instead of releasing forgiveness. You'll build walls instead of bridges. You'll be quick to talk about what's wrong with somebody else and slow to look in the mirror at yourself. But it doesn't just affect your body and your relationships. Your fellowship with God will be affected as well. And don't make the mistake of thinking because you come to church that makes it all better. Because some of you in here, you can lift your hands during the song and still have a grudge in your heart. You can function in your flesh but still have bitterness in your spirit. And finally, if you're not careful, it'll rob you of your future. Michael remained childless because contempt closed what blessings wanted to open. She missed her best blessings all because she allowed bitterness to dictate her attitude and her actions. So how can you overcome bitterness? I'm going to talk about that next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. And I pray now that your word has found fertile ground in the hearts and minds of your people, that you would be more than just a hearer of your word, but that you would be a doer of your word. Help us, God, to live out this truth so we can become better, more than just feeling better. Help us to be better. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For those of you who are watching, don't tune me out yet. I've got a tool, an exercise that I want you to do. If you're in the sanctuary, you have your outlines. You should have in your hands a bitterness self-assessment tool. If you're watching, QR code is going up on the screen for the bitterness assessment tool. Use your phone, use your tablet. And this is a series of questions that I want you to answer honestly. And the reason I want you to answer this honestly, and you're the only one that's going to see the results, is this is for growth, not guilt. And I don't want you to answer the question based on who you want to be. I want you to answer the question honestly based on who you are. Because if you're not honest with where you are, you can't get where God wants you to be. Right? Sometimes you go to the doctor and man, you don't want to check all them boxes. And you lie to the doctor. But the last thing you want to do is lie to yourself. So I want to take a couple of minutes and I want you to do this right now. If you have your phones, you can do it. It'll automatically tabulate for you and give you the results. And then on the other side of this, if you're here in the sanctuary, you already have this. But for those of you who will do this, you will receive not just a scale scoring reflection, but you'll also have access to a forgiveness prayer guide for bitterness. In other words, how can you start praying and addressing this? Now, somebody said, well, why wouldn't you give us that first? Because if you don't find out or discover you have a bitterness problem, then you're not going to pray about anything.
It's like giving you a prescription for medicine and you don't know you're sick. Right? Most folk barely take the medicine that they're prescribed when they are sick. Stop taking it when they start feeling better. And so I want to encourage you today. I'm going to take a couple of minutes to go back to that original QR code. And I want you to really assess where you are. I know some of y'all are like, I'll do it at home. That's why I want you to do it here. Should only take you a couple of minutes to do it. And I want you to identify the what and the who that's causing that unresolved anger to come up in your life. Give me a clean heart so I might serve thee. Lord, fix my heart so that I can be used by thee. For I'm not worthy of all these blessings. Give me a clean heart and I'll follow thee. Now nobody, don't shout out your score. Don't tell anybody your score. Some of y'all want to double check it and make sure it's right because your number came back a little high. Some of y'all, it's that one person. It's that one. Hey, send my score up. It's that one person. Lord, fix my heart so that I, what's our ultimate goal? Can be used by thee. Mark.
I'm not worthy of all these blessings. Give me a clean heart and I'll follow.
Everybody who can, everybody who will, stand on your feet wherever you are. If you're here, you've never asked the Lord into your life, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to the Lord. The gladiators are in the chat. For those of you who are watching on whatever social media platform you're on. And if you want somebody to help you, pray with you, pray for you. If you put that in the chat, they'll send you a link and you can pray with them from wherever you are via Zoom. If you're in need of salvation, we want to help you to find Jesus today. If you would like to become part of this church family, we're not perfect. Man, we are an imperfect people serving a perfect God. We welcome you to join us on this journey. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, we want to help you to get where God wants you to be. So as Elder Taylor sings, if you're here in the sanctuary upstairs or down to my left or to my right, and you want to recognize that you need somebody bigger than you are to help you handle life, maybe if nothing else, this message has helped you to see, you know what, I need God in my life. because there's some stuff in here that's too big for me to handle. I want to give you an opportunity to say yes. We won't look at you funny. We'll rejoice when you come, because we know that God is celebrating anybody who will make a step to say yes to him. And the men and women who are up front would love to show you privately how to ask the Lord into your life. If you just want somebody to pray with you, maybe you just need a hug, just need some encouragement, we're here to do that as well. So wherever you are, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, and as you pray, one of the things I want to encourage you to do is ask God to show you, listen, not your truth, but to show you the truth. Like, pray and ask God, because some of us are standing here and we're sitting here. We got all kinds of blame. Ask God to show you the truth, because that's the only way you can get better where God wants you to be. Amen. Amen. Come on and come if you're here. Elder, sing that second verse. I'm not asking.
I'm not asking.
Come on and come.
For the riches of this world.
If you're up in the balcony, come on. If you're downstairs, come on.
Lord, I'm not asking.
I'm not asking.
For high men to know.
Bless you, brother.
My name.
Bless you, bless you.
Oh, Lord, but give me a clean heart so that I might follow thee. Give me a clean heart.
Come on, everybody, sing that as a prayer.
Give me a clean.
Sing it to the Lord. Tell the Lord, give me a clean heart.
Heart.
So
I may serve.
Tell the Lord, so I may serve you, Lord. Lord, fix my heart.
Lord, fix my heart.
Come on, don't worry about anybody else's heart. Tell the Lord to fix your heart so that you can be used by him. And some of y'all saying, I'm already being used. Imagine if your heart got right, how much more you could be used by him.
For
I'm not worthy. How many of you know you're not worthy of the blessings you received in your life? Anybody, can you just raise your hand and say, no, I know I'm not worthy. I know some of y'all think y'all got it and you deserve it. But for the rest of us, not worthy of all of these blessings. Lord, give me. Lord, give me a clean heart.
Give me a clean.
Give me a clean heart. Let's stretch out our hands. Father, we thank you for these who have come, for the reasons that they have come. Only you know. God, for those who need prayer, those who have been challenged today to say, I need to do better in my life. God, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. Because even when we don't receive grace and mercy from others, we can always receive grace and mercy from you. God, I pray now that you would deal with us as we look at ourselves, as we look into the mirror, God, not through the lens of bitterness, but through the lens of blessings, through the lens of grace, through the lens of mercy. God, help us to get right with you so we can be right and act right with others. Set us free today. We ask in Jesus' name for these who have come. Amen. And thank God. Amen. 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 Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand of praise. I'm not going to ask if you were blessed today. If you were convicted today, give the Lord a hand of praise.